Good morning. It is good to be with you. It is a deep joy and fulfilling gratitude to stand before this congregation. I was grateful for the Reverend Matthew Johnson's invitation to worship with you today and to finally experience this magic and this beauty that he's been bragging about everywhere he goes for all these years. It's also a great privilege to represent our shared Unitarian Universalist Association, and so I also extend my thanks and gratitude on behalf of President Peter Morales and the whole UUA for your hospitality that you've shown me here this morning. This morning, there could be no more fitting a theme than resilience to be my guide. For resilience truly has been and continues to be a lasting quality of our religious faith. It is a principle that underlies all of the other principles that we hold dear, those principles which call us to dig deep to our roots, to find strength in them in order that we might say yes to life, say yes to love, to faith, to hope. And then grow our wings and launch into the sky of immense wonder and possibility. We Unitarian Universalists, we who have been born of heretics, of questioners, and people of conscience, we proclaim across this country and throughout the world a resilient message that love is indeed the greatest force in the universe, and that we are all called to bless this world through our words and actions as individuals, as a religious community, and as a wider religious movement. And so I pray this morning that with the few words I am able to share with you, that they might be a small extension of that love that we hold dear, that they might embody in some small way that blessing we hope to be in the world. As I said, the theme of resilience is on point for what needs to be said today. I feel called to talk about the relationship between resilience and our interdependence as a religious people and movement. But first, I'd like to share again just a little bit about myself and how I came to be with you today. As was mentioned earlier, I grew up as a UU in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Kimberly Carlson actually used to be an advisor for me. It's a small world, they say. And I went on to pursue theological studies at Chicago Theological Seminary. I feel lucky to be able to work for the UUA remotely in East Lansing, where my wife, Hattie, is attending law school at Michigan State University. Because while she pursues her professional development, I get to take this privileged road less traveled by working for just a few years for the Unitarian Universalist Association prior to serving our movement in a more local congregational setting. Truly, what better a vantage point is there to learn about the progressive power and potential and promise of our interdependence as a faith tradition than the UUA? I might travel 1 week to San Diego, the next to Denver, the next here to Rockford, Illinois, and everywhere in between, I am given the opportunity to see the invisible threads that hold us together as a religious people, a people who covenant to uphold certain principles to make the world more meaningful and just. And I've been thinking a lot about these invisible threads lately. And I've realized that one of my jobs, wherever I go in my work as a stewardship and development staff member of the UUA, is not just to raise money, it's to try and make these invisible threads visible, to call us back towards the heart of our faith, that we are at our deepest essence one, that we are interdependent. And what I've learned is that for a lot of people, including myself at times, it is a hard spiritual practice to remain mindful of this interdependence, of this reality. It takes a certain level of resilience, I think, to hold strong to our values and our beliefs, because so many things in society and our daily lives try to drive us apart. They try to create divisions between us that silence us or at least distract us from even exploring our similarities or discovering a path toward greater justice and peace. But whether for innocent or nefarious reasons, these divisions cannot overcome the true pull, the true pull we feel towards returning to our interdependence. When I think deeply about our human nature or the nature of the universe or of our unique religious movement, it is really hard to come away with any conclusion besides an overwhelming feeling of awe about this interdependent web of existence of which we are just a part. This awe, this feeling of clarity that comes to us when we glimpse ever so briefly at an alignment with all that is, or at least of all we can see or sense before us at this time. This feeling is powerful. And it can be either comforting or it can be scary, but most often we know it's a little bit of both. We cannot deny it. We are relational beings. We can see our part in the relational nature of the universe as well. So whether you take a Newtonian perspective or follow the teachings of Thich Nhat Hanh, interdependence is compelling. It is a worldview that, in my opinion, makes a lot of sense. Our seventh principle is not some fluffy footnote to appease the environmentalists in our faith communities. No, it is a radical, countercultural proposition that no matter how much we try to create divisions between us, divisions between race, class, gender, sexual orientation, nationality, religion, we have always been, we are today, and we will always be one. That's why I love Thich Nhat Hanh's beautiful reflection on interbeing. I just had to share it in its entirety, this idea that to be is to interbe. You cannot just be by yourself alone. You have to interbe with every other thing. This sheet of paper is, because everything else is. Hanh uses this example of a piece of paper to convey that we exist in a relational interdependence with all that is. And he claims that the paper needs the cloud to exist, for without the cloud, there will be no rain. Without rain, the trees cannot grow. And without trees, we cannot make paper. Reconnecting with our true nature as interdependent beings, we begin to recognize that our seventh principle not only offers us a radical worldview, it is not just a poetic expression of our interconnectedness, but it is also a blueprint for a new ethic of relationship that we can have towards everything in the universe. Okay. The universe is big, and this country is big, and even this new Mid-America region is big. So let's dial it back a little bit. I'll give you an example from my own work life. I have to travel a lot in order to meet with Unitarian Universalists throughout the country to talk about the work we do at the UUA, and oftentimes I fly to do this. And I admit, I have come to take for granted some of the magic I once felt about flying and being up in the air and landing safely, hopefully. But never, never in this time have I lost the powerful meaning of those fleeting moments of encountering fellow travelers with their barriers just a little bit more down, their boundaries just a little bit less, who might be open at 40,000 square feet to just have a conversation they might not have in their daily lives. I'm an extrovert, and so I don't mind just striking up a conversation or being receptive to learning a little bit more as a newfound friend initiates with me. And when I take Thich Nhat Hanh's words to heart, when I truly look into another human being's eyes and see my reflection and the reflection of all that is, as Kathleen McTeague says, the communion that is there, it is hard to not have a feeling of deep care and concern for my fellow traveler. Sometimes I have conversations that are superficial, and sometimes they go deeper, especially as folks inquire about what this Unitarian Universalism is that I'm devoting my life to. But every conversation, regardless of its depth, ends with me realizing once again that my life has been made more fulfilled today because I was able to connect, if for only a moment, with another member and recognize, truly recognize them as a member of our universal family. And so I think our religious communities are clearly the best places where we can practice this interdependent ethic of care. We come together perhaps mainly on Sundays and perhaps other times throughout the week to practice mindfulness that we are here, both here and here, for a reason larger than ourselves alone. We are held together in covenant in this work of dreaming and envisioning and adventuring like Beagle out in the world about what the future of our religious community might be like and what the future of our world might be like. And I have to congratulate you. I just have to let you know that you've already got a lot of it figured out. You covenant together each week that love is the spirit of this church, and reason is its guide to dwell together in peace, to seek the truth in freedom, and to serve human need. This is our covenant. This covenant that you speak will hold you in whatever comes your way. I promise you, whatever challenge, whatever fork in the road, if you hold true to this covenant, to these principles, your ministries and your journey will always be as bright as the sunshine. And I have to admit that one of the biggest reasons I was excited and eager to come visit this congregation was to just see firsthand who this community was that was embarking upon this discerned and focused approach to imagining and reimagining their congregation in new and exciting ways. I've heard from Reverend Johnson that you have been experimenting with trying some new collaborative ministries with other local congregations. He mentioned you have been trying some simple things at first, perhaps things you wouldn't necessarily even notice, like aligning your monthly themes, like resilience, with four other congregations in the area, exchanging pulpits once a year to bring in distinct yet still local and thus somewhat familiar UU voices to your communities. I heard you just had shared in a beautiful music concert, and that you will experiment with a joint worship service on June 14th. Reverend Johnson said you are even experimenting with sharing the ministerial services of my friend and colleague, good choice, the Reverend Skylar Vogel, with a couple congregations. And we'll see where these collaborations, where these adventures, these journeys take you. It's only the beginning. It's just the tip of the iceberg. But for now, what I can say with 100% integrity is thank you. Thank you. I'm so grateful that you are exploring your interdependence on a small scale by envisioning what it just might mean to have multiple congregations share the same goal of growing Unitarian Universalism in the state line area. And I'm grateful not just because you are doing this work, but because others like the UUs in McHenry are, and in Rockton, and perhaps in DeKalb and Elgin and elsewhere. All of you are modeling in your own ways, from your own perspectives, a little mathematical equation that I've been toying around with for the last couple years. Okay, so quick aside, before I wanted to go into the ministry, I wanted to be a math teacher, a high school math teacher, and so sometimes I still think about theology and ministries in mathematical ways. So this one I'm going to share with you is really simple. It's just a little addition problem. I've been thinking a lot lately about this idea of risk, or risk-taking, and how it relates to our congregations, about what we do here, and about our future. You see, any sort of experimenting or collaborating or adventuring you might be doing with other congregations can be easily seen as risk-taking, since you don't really know what's going to happen. You don't really know what's at stake even, or what you might lose, or perhaps even gain. But my equation goes something like this. When we do some risk-taking, but in covenant, that pairing makes the risk-taking holy. As we talked about before, covenant can hold us through the most challenging times, the times of uncertainty, of adaptation, of experimentation. So with the holy risk-taking, I believe truly, no matter what we do, no matter what we try, we cannot fail. No matter what we do, no matter what we try, when we do holy risk-taking, we cannot fail. When we take risks in covenant, when we try new things and remain committed to our covenant, that love is the spirit of this church and reason is guide, et cetera, we begin to see that these efforts, that these collaboration, these partnerships cannot fail, that they will not be in vain, that truly they are steps towards some unavoidable destination. I sometimes call this destination liberation, or some people call it beloved community. But for the themes of this sermon, maybe we could call it a full realization and embrace and attainment of our interdependence. When we take risks in covenant, they are made holy. And when we do some holy risk-taking together, we cannot fail, but we might, just might, get a glimpse, just a glimpse, of beloved community, a glimpse of our nature and perhaps our destiny. Our Unitarian Universalist Association is deeply committed to supporting our congregations throughout the country, like this one, who are doing some holy risk-taking in their unique settings. Truly, this is a time of trying new things, of not losing the tried and true ministries of yesterday, but of complementing them with new collaborations and new adventures. At the UUA, we are doing our own holy risk-taking, and we hope that together our resilience and our interdependence can create greater synergy and success throughout the world. We also strive at the UUA to be relentlessly useful. That's a phrase we use often, relentlessly useful to encourage innovation and experimentation in our local and shared ministries in order that we might make those invisible threads just a little bit more visible and reimagine together what it might mean to be congregations in a wider covenant together within our congregations association. For example, there's a website and online community of leaders of congregations who are exploring what is often called generically as multi-site ministry. And we've set up online learning communities to support these initiatives. And the exciting thing is that we are still at the early stages of these days of holy risk-taking. It will be communities like yours. It will be communities like yours that others will look to for guidance, for help, for faith to know that this work is possible, transformative, and worth the resiliency. But again, for our wider movement, for Unitarian Universalism in general, to remain relevant and strong in the 21st century, it will require something more than websites and learning communities. It will require something more than better lines of communication and support between the UUA. Those will be important, but ultimately, it will require a resilient and shared commitment of all Unitarian Universalists to nurture a spiritual practice of mindfulness of our interdependence, of that truest nature of our individual and shared existence, both as a congregation and an association of congregations. As we strive to reimagine religious community in an ever-changing world, we must remember the prophetic words of Thich Nhat Hanh. He encouraged us to not look so simply at a piece of paper, this ubiquitous object that surrounds us every day, but to try and look more deeply to all that is inside. Time, space, the earth, the rain, the minerals in the soil, the sunshine, the cloud, the river, the heat. I do not know what will come from these exciting years of holy risk-taking that are before you. I do not know what will happen for the risk-taking that are before the other state line congregations and before our wider association, but I do know that when we stay in covenant, when we love one another, when love truly is the spirit of this church, when we remain mindful of our interdependence, when we let the sun shine in, and also when we recognize that the sun was already in us the whole time, along with the cloud and the river, we will be able to do some magical and beautiful things. Perhaps some of those things Reverend Johnson imagined were possible all along. And this magic and this beauty rooted in these principles of resilience and covenant and interdependence, I promise you, they'll just open the doors to practicing an abundant faith. A faith where all is possible, where creativity and resources are just boundless, where a spirit of generosity can be harnessed and shown to ourselves, to this congregation, to our association, to our society and the world. And that really is the progressive power, the potential, and the promise of Unitarian Universalism. Let's make that possible, and let's explore the unimaginable. Amen. Please rise with me in voice or body as we sing together our closing hymn, hymn 318, We Would Be One.
It has been so wonderful to be together and worship this morning. We do not just live our faith for an hour on Sunday, but throughout our lives. So I invite you to explore this month's theme of what does it mean to be people of resilience. Perhaps you might reach out to each other, to reach out to another in interdependence. If you want to go deeper into the theme, you can join a Spirit Journey group. See us at the membership desk to find out more. In your bulletin, you will also find a variety of events coming up. In particular, I want to highlight the screening of Two Who Dared, a film about Unitarians who helped save Jews in the Holocaust. The screening is here this afternoon at 4 p.m. In a moment, we'll take up an offering to support the work of justice and mercy in the world. 80% of what is collected today will go to the Unitarian Universalist Association in support of the work that Nick talked about today. There's more information in your bulletin. Thank you for your generosity. And if today was your first day with us, we're especially glad to have you here. If you didn't check in on your way in, please do so on your way out so we can be in touch. We'd love to see you all next week when Matthew will be preaching about Easter and the power of surprises. I do have a couple of announcements before we close. First from Dick Lake. He writes, "Hi, volunteers. Thank you for all who helped out on March 20th to unload the tables and clothing racks from North Park Rental for our trash and treasure sale. We will do the reverse on Monday, March 30th. That's tomorrow at 9 o'clock. I hope you can all make it. But wait, there's more. Matthew has informed us that the new sanctuary chairs will be dropped off that same Monday at 8 a.m. That's tomorrow. If you have the time and are willing, your help would be greatly appreciated to replace our current chairs with the new ones. Also, we need help on Tuesday, March 31st, day after tomorrow, about the same time in the morning, to load all our leftover trash and treasure stuff that didn't sell into a truck from Salvation Army. Whatever you can do is greatly appreciated." That's signed Dick Lake. Also, we sold a lot and we had a great sale this year. However, in our so-called treasure room, which is our library to the side here, that room will be open till about 12:30 today. And everything in there, there's some real treasures in there, are half price. So please take advantage of that. So finally, if you know someone in your life who could use a message like that for their life, invite them and bring them with you. The offering will now be received. If you are a visitor today, please feel no obligation.
Let us rise and take the hand of a friend next to you as we say our benediction words. our journey before us, for all of us, will be made magical and beautiful when we are in covenant. So let us stay true to our principles of covenant, of resilience. Let us help one another to see our interdependence, that communion in the face of another. And together, let us explore the unimaginable. Go in peace.